I'm Tracy Sable. Tonight on a special edition of EWTN News Nightly, history and a holiday. A closer look at how the White House has celebrated Thanksgiving throughout the years. Extra helping. A Republican and Democrat on Capitol Hill are spending their time off serving those in need. A lot on your plate? EWTN's Dr. Ray Guarendi offers suggestions for handling the stress of the holidays, plus putting the thanks in Thanksgiving. A closer look at three saints and how their example can help us develop an attitude of gratitude. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Tracy Sable. Thank you so much for being with us tonight for our special Thanksgiving edition of EWTN News Nightly. We begin tonight with a trip down memory lane. Thanksgiving holds a very special place in the history of this country, especially at the White House. We spoke with Stuart McLaurin, the president of the White House Historical Association. He shares some of those heartwarming moments in his own words.
Well, Thanksgiving at the White House is a very special time, as it is in the homes of Americans all across our country. The observance of Thanksgiving goes back initially to George Washington, when he was encouraged to announce a time of Thanksgiving. But it was not until the presidency of Abraham Lincoln in 1863 when President Lincoln issued a proclamation that the fourth Thursday of November be observed as Thanksgiving. And then over time, presidents throughout the late 19th century and early 20th century began to celebrate with festive meals. Turkeys began to be presented from the 1870s to the 19-teens. One poultry king from Rhode Island provided a big turkey every Thanksgiving for the president. Well, the wonderful Harding Girls Club in Chicago decided that they wanted to deliver a turkey to President Harding. They wanted to fatten up this turkey by feeding it chocolates. Now, I can't imagine a turkey enjoying chocolate, but this one did. They traveled over 800 miles from Chicago to Washington, where this turkey was presented to President Harding. Well, the Coolidge story is really wonderful. There was a raccoon that was presented to the Coolidges for their Thanksgiving meal. Well, they thought this little raccoon could not be prepared as a meal, so they adopted it as a pet. And her name was Rebecca. And she became famous all over the White House grounds. Well, like so many things at the White House, every year has to be a little bit better and bigger and grander than the year before. This year, you'll see on the South Lawn of the White House will be the Grand Turkey Pardoning. Well, it used to be a very simple event where the turkey producers would bring the turkeys over or the turkey and there would be a little ceremony. It wasn't officially pardoned in a grand sense until the presidency of George H.W. Bush. And I think when we celebrate the turkey pardon, when we feature the celebratory Thanksgiving season here at the White House, it's a time hearkening back to that proclamation that Abraham Lincoln issued in a very conflicted time in our country in 1863, that as a people we have many blessings for which to be thankful. There's so many things that unite us as a country rather than divide us as a country. And Thanksgiving is certainly a moment when we can draw attention to that and think about the importance of these blessings, the importance of family, the importance of faith, and the future of our country, and the hope and the optimism that we all should have as Americans.
Our Capitol Hill is quiet as most lawmakers are home for the Thanksgiving holiday. Besides the usual family football and turkey, some are trying to offer a helping hand to those in need. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales has that story.
Good evening. While millions of American families are carving up the turkey, spending time with family and friends, some lawmakers are putting others first. For Republican Senator Kevin Cramer in North Dakota, the Thanksgiving holiday has historic ties that are remembered right here in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda.
So I'm the 10th great-grandson of William Bradford. I had three grandparents or ancestors on the Mayflower, so Thanksgiving's a pretty big deal to me and to our family. We all run together in what's called the Turkey Trot in Bismarck, which is a 5K run on the day of Thanksgiving, in the morning of Thanksgiving.
Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern is a Catholic lawmaker who supports abortion, which does not align with church teachings, but he does follow other pillars of faith, like helping others.
On the Monday and Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I do a 43-mile walk to raise awareness about hunger in our community and to raise funds for the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. Again, we live in the richest country in the history of the world. We've got, you know, 45, 47 million people hungry. We should all be ashamed.
He says he got involved in the walk about 10 years ago with the radio talk show host.
And we take turns pushing a supermarket cart. We begin in Springfield, which is not my district, but we end up in my district later on in the march. But lots of people, young and old and everybody in between. Some people come for a mile. Some people come for 5 miles, but it's become a really important tradition.
Congressman McGovern adds he'll continue walking as long as he can and hopes to inspire others.
Then it's up to us. And so that's why I do this walk. I pray that it doesn't snow or doesn't rain. And I pray that my legs will, withstand the 43 miles. But as painful as it is, I actually feel very good about doing it, because it's something real and concrete, and it will help a lot of people.
Lawmakers from both sides of the aisle tell me that the holiday is a time to reflect on the freedoms we all have, while remembering those who don't have freedoms, especially the American hostages that are still being held in Gaza after more than a year. Wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including food, family, but not necessarily fun. EWTN's Dr. Ray Grendy has advice for handling possible Thanksgiving tension as we gather with family and friends. And how students at a Catholic boarding school host their families for a special Thanksgiving banquet. Welcome back. Students at a Catholic boarding school in Kansas celebrate this holiday following the example of the 4th century St. Martin of Tours, using their own harvest of food and meat grown on their farm. The students delight their families with a Thanksgiving banquet. Alan Holdren is in Kansas with that story.
A Kansas all-boys boarding school bases its educational methods, but even its festivities, on age-old Catholic foundations. Near the city of Fort Scott, St. Martin's Academy classically trains the boys, while they also prepare them to take on responsibility and seek the virtuous. They cook, clean, and man the farm. And when you have a farm, you've got to have a harvest festival. Theirs is on November the 11th every year.
Martinmas is our annual feast that we have here at St. Martin's. It's our central one because it honors our patron of our school, St. Martin of Tours.
Deer, pineapple, vegetables, pig, and St. Martin's goose roasted in a ring of fire are on the menu for their yearly Thanksgiving banquet. Most of it was kept, cultivated, or captured by the students themselves.
We were serving venison that, like, one of the juniors literally shot in the woods. He shot that deer with a crossbow.
The preparation of the feast ties them to their school's namesake, a man of extraordinary virtue. Every action is inspired by the French soldier turned priest and bishop, St. Martin, who famously shared his cloak with a poor man.
He's such a model of servant leadership. That image of him cutting his cloak is precisely what we're asking our young men to do. To have the awareness, first of all, to see someone in need, and then to take action.
These young men are practicing that virtue during this rare chance to host their families by serving up a cornucopia of food and song. In Fort Scott, Kansas, Alan Holdren, EWTN News Nightly.
The holidays are exciting and hopefully a little restful, but for some, they can also be a little stressful, especially coming off of one of the most hotly contested presidential elections in history. According to findings from the American Psychological Association, 69% of Americans say they experience conflict with family members during the holidays. Politics and religion being the top of the issues, followed by money and lifestyle choices. And for more, we turn now to Dr. Ray Grendy, a Catholic psychologist, author, radio host, and TV host for EWTN. Dr. Ray, great to be with you. So much to get to, but I want to talk about Thanksgiving and folks gathering together. Sometimes we have different personalities, and there can be a little bit of tension at times. Tell us how we can deal with maybe some difficult times with our family members.
Tracy, rule number one, you can get along with almost anybody for a limited period of time. If you're going to have a three-hour Thanksgiving get-together, okay, I can get along with Uncle Frank and his opinions and his snide comments and his religious attacks and his political barbs. For 3 hours, I can let him go in one ear and out the other. That's the first thing to remember. When it's time limited, nobody's asking you to do this for 8 days in a row. It's a certain amount of time. Most of the time, we can do it.
Absolutely. And you know what? We love our family members and we're grateful for them. So on that note, let's talk about the feeling of gratitude and why that's so important, especially for our mental health.
Do you lift weights, Tracy?
I do.
So when you go into that weight room the first time ever and somebody said, hey, Tracy, go over and pick up those 50-pound dumbbells. You said, that's crazy. I can't do that. However, gratitude is like weightlifting. You started out with the 15s, but you worked your way up to the 50s. Gratitude is paying attention. In other words, you get out of your car and you walk toward church. Well, look at that. You can walk. Well, look at that. The Lord has allowed you to know him in church. Well, look at that. You got a coat that you're wearing that you're worn. You could basically lift weights in gratitude every second that you breathe. The difference is you got to be aware of it. You can't just take it for granted. Have you heard of something, Tracy, called hedonic adaptation?
I have not.
Well, see, that's a big fancy phrase that we psychologists have to have because it makes us smarter than all you people. Okay, hedonic adaptation means you get used to stuff. Okay, so I can see. I never think about the fact that I can see. I can see. I've always been able to see. When's the last time I thanked God for being able to see? Hedonic adaptation works against the muscle of gratitude.
And Dr. Ray, really quickly, tell us, you know, what the Bible says about gratitude.
It is hard to be depressed when you are grateful. Very hard. Mm-hmm. If you notice what the Lord has given you. Tracy, I didn't ask to be born at this time and place. I didn't ask to be born in this country. I didn't ask to know EWTN. I didn't ask to be able to come on your show. None of these things did I choose. I was plopped down in this particular place. And if I recognize that, that God has done that for me, through no decision of my own. What a gift. What an infinite gift. And I better keep reminding myself of that, because if I don't, it'll fade away.
Well, Dr. Ray, quickly before we let you go, tell us about your new book.
Family Faith Under Fire. Living in this culture, Tracy, and you try to be a faith-filled person, you're going to get assaulted from every direction. These are the most common questions I get from parents, from grandparents, from spouses, from kids. And I guarantee you, Tracy, in this book, if you have people listening to you who feel guilty because their kids have left the church, I will take their guilt away in that book.
So important. Dr. Ray, great to be with you. Thank you so much. We're grateful for you. God bless.
Thanks, Tracy.
For the first time in over a century, the historic chair of St. Peter will be displayed for public veneration. Pilgrims and visitors will be able to visit the chair until December 8th, the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. EWTN Vatican journalist Magdalena Valenska-Reedy has more.
It is considered one of the most sacred symbols of Christendom, the chair of St. Peter. And for the first time in 150 years, it is on display for public veneration. Also known as the Cathedra Sancti Petri, it is celebrated as a mark of the authority of St. Peter, and according to tradition, it is the throne the first pope used when he lived in Rome. It is also a powerful physical reminder of the pope's spiritual authority.
The cathedra is the place from which the Pope teaches. In the context of seeking hope and opening ourselves to true freedom, we're invited to hear Christ's words afresh in these teachings. It is through the Petrine ministry, the service of the Pope, that the Church's message speaks to us and leads us toward this freedom.
According to the Vatican, the chair was likely given to Pope John VIII in 875 by the Holy Roman Emperor Charles the Bald. A sign in St. Peter's Basilica informs visitors that around the year 1000, the chair began to be venerated as a relic of the seat used by the St. Peter himself when he preached in Antioch and Rome. Whether or not St. Peter actually used the seat, the wooden throne represents papal authority from St. Peter to the present, and pilgrims flock to venerate it like other relics of the Church.
We never venerate relics for their own sake. Every relic directs us toward Christ. Whether it's the relic of a martyr or a saint, these point us to a profound identification with Christ, an ultimate union with Him. When we venerate relics, especially those of martyrs, we see how their lives became completely conformed to Christ.
The recent restoration of Bernini's works in the Basilica in preparation for the 2025 Jubilee year made it possible for the wooden throne to be moved from Bernini's enormous reliquary, one of the most iconic artworks in St. Peter's Basilica. The bronze monument is located above the altar at the far end of the Basilica, known as the Altar of the Chair, and supported by statues of four doctors of the Western and Eastern Church. After a private viewing in August, Pope Francis decided that the Chair of St. Peter, as a symbol of the Church's unity under the instruction of Christ, would be unveiled for the public.
It was the Pope who initiated, desired, and brought it to fruition, as it is undoubtedly one of the key symbols of the upcoming special year, a jubilee meant to restore unity to a Church currently witnessing conflict, such as in Ukraine and the Holy Land, among brothers and sisters.
Pilgrims and visitors can now behold the historic relic directly in front of the Basilica's main altar, just above the tomb of St. Peter. It will remain on display until December the 8th, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. In Rome, Magdalena Volinskariedi, EWTN News Nightly.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, holy advice. EWTN's Father John Paul encourages the faithful to live Thanksgiving the Catholic way. He'll tell you how. Plus, Dr. Matthew Bunsen tells us about three saints that are perfect examples of being grateful even in the darkest times. Reflect on this Thanksgiving holiday and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, we were reminded of the many saints who showed gratitude in all circumstances and how their lives could be a lesson to us all. Saint Josephine Bakita, born in Sudan back in 1869, is the patron saint of victims of human trafficking. Although we celebrate her feast in February, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Vice President of News and Editorial Director of EWTN News, says she is a perfect saint to associate with Thanksgiving. That's because even though she was kidnapped and enslaved for 12 years and physically and emotionally abused, she exhibited tremendous gratitude.
Yeah, she talked about the fact that when she was very young, she looked and suffering as a child, as a slave in Africa, that she would look to the heavens and she saw the beauty of creation, even in the darkest of those hours, and recognized that something bigger than she was had brought all of this into being.
In 1883, she was sold to an Italian who brought her to Italy, where she eventually worked as a nanny and then was placed in custody of the Canossian Sisters, where she developed a love for Catholicism and was later received into the Church.
And I think her capacity for fortitude, but also for hope, is one of those great lessons for us.
Dr. Bunsen says another saint who showed faith and gratitude even in the darkest of times is Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Yeah, it was as a soldier during the Siege of Pamplona that his leg was almost blown off by a cannonball. He was convalescing for a year in bed.
After his tragedy, not only did he read about the saints, but offered his sword to the Blessed Mother. Wanting to deepen his faith and grow even more in his spirituality, he spent many months in a cave where he found an immense gratitude for the path that led him to conversion.
In so many ways, is Ignatius's gratitude for having been led from a life of violence to a life of prayer and ultimately to a life of profound holiness that has shaped the church, has shaped millions of lives over the centuries.
In 1540, Pope Paul III received Ignatius and some of his friends who followed him in his spiritual exercises and approved them as an official order known as the Jesuits. Finally, Dr. Bunsen points out that St. Faustina, mostly known for Jesus's revelation of the divine mercy, is also known as the patron saint of gratitude in the family.
Well, in her life, she recognized being grateful for being obedient to God's will by opening ourselves up.
In her diary of the Divine Mercy, she made a list of her daily crosses and sufferings while giving thanks to God.
It is in gratitude for the life that God has given us that is ultimately not our own in the sense that we give it back to Him in gratitude, but then conforming ourselves to what He really wants for us in our lives.
Finally, tonight, as Catholics, we know the importance of giving thanks to God, but what is the best way to celebrate Thanksgiving the Catholic way? And for more, we bring in Father John Paul with us in the studio. Thank you, Father, so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Good to be here.
So, you know, when we think of Thanksgiving, of course, for most people, the first thing that comes to mind is food, the turkey, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, yeah, the pies, all that goes with it. But there's also a very special connection to the Eucharist, spiritual nourishment. So talk
to us
about that.
First of all, food is important, you know, for Thanksgiving, for everybody. Food, bringing people around the table. So many good conversations happen around the table. The Lord had all of his best teaching at the table, which leads us to the Eucharist, the celebration of the Last Supper. The Eucharist means a Eucharistia, Thanksgiving. So I'm always so surprised how many people show up to Mass on Thanksgiving. Sometimes more of a holy day of obligation. People come, I think instinctively, people come to Mass on Thanksgiving. So I encourage our viewers, if they have the chance to go tomorrow, go to Mass. That'd be great, a great thing to do before you go to see family.
Absolutely, absolutely. How should we think about Thanksgiving as Catholics and be able to celebrate it in an authentically Catholic way?
Give thanks. Give thanks for what you have. So many people don't have the gift of family, don't have the gift of friends. So I'm thinking now particularly in a way, maybe somebody is watching this right now that doesn't have the opportunity to go to a family because their family has passed on, their husband's passed on, their wife has passed on. They're going through a lot of pain. Maybe they don't have loved ones reaching out to them. That's hard.
Yeah.
I like to acknowledge that pain, first of all. But I think that they can, and we can too, give thanks to God.
After Thanksgiving, we know we're getting ready for Christmas. We're in the Advent season.
Sure.
A lot of times people maybe think of things in a materialistic way, right? Mm-hmm. Getting ready for Christmas and buying the gifts for people and kind of not thinking of what really should matter. Remind us of what should matter.
Hopefully our viewers are not planning on staking out a place for Black Friday already. Right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not thinking. let's put that on the table. But we material possessions, there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with going out to a sale to get things, gifts for your children, for your loved ones. That's perfectly fine and good thing to do. But, you know, I think that we can practice moderation and virtue and kindness during that day. So if you go out for Black Friday and, you know, hopefully maybe you can go to Mass in the morning. Just be kind to people. You know, don't be so much in a rush and like be like in a fight to get what's on the shelf. Just be kind to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before I let you go, I mean, because you and I could talk forever, but before I let you go, is there anything else you would like to say to our audience or maybe give them a blessing for Thanksgiving?
Sure. Oh, family, just wanted on behalf of Michael Warsaw and also Amanse and our whole EWTN family, all of us who work here at EWTN,
We give thanks for you, give thanks for the ways that you've contributed to EWTN, both financially and in a spiritual way, praying for us. May the Lord bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. Always good to be with you.
Sure. It's good to be here.
And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable, and from all of us here at EWTN News Nightly, we wish you and yours a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Good night, and God bless.